and pray them in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Jeff Arnold, and I'm pastor of congregational care here at MPC, and I'm so glad that you are joining us for worship this morning. We are starting a new sermon series this morning called The Bread of Life. And so you have your bulletins that are there with you this morning that have a beautiful picture of bread on the front of it. We went to extra expense to have it scented so that it smells like bread. Not really, but we did talk about it this week. Wouldn't that have been fun if we had like scratch and sniff? You remember those stickers? Sorry, we'll tell you about that someday, but the little scratch and sniff stickers, those are the best. But as we embark on this Bread of Life series, today I'm going to be sharing from John chapter 6, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And throughout the series, we're going to encounter different passages, all related to bread, that speak to God's love for us and how God provides. From the manna that kept the Israelites trusting for God's provision, to stories of the early church that just gathered together to break bread and to share with one another, we find physical nourishment in flour, water, yeast, and salt when mixed together to produce bread. And we find spiritual nourishment that we need in the Son of God. And so for the next 5 weeks, as we embark on this journey together, we'll be looking at these different passages. And as we do, we hope that you will grow in your discipleship and your understanding of God's love for you as we look at these different passages and the things that Jesus wanted to convey to those that were listening of what God had in store for them. So throughout the month, you are invited to take part. We want this to be something that is engaging. And so maybe there are some of you that love to bake. Is there anybody out there that bakes all the time, like every single week you're baking? Well, if that's not you, that's okay, because this series is for you that maybe never bake at all. We want to challenge you to think about baking something or making something. Maybe it's cinnamon rolls or muffins or bread. And then give that to a neighbor, give that to a friend. You know, you're kind of taking a risk if you give it to a neighbor and it's not good. Or you can, if it's not good and you're uncertain, you can always feed it to the birds. I know that they will be happy to receive whatever bread you make. But as you're doing that, we want there to just be that engagement of thinking about bread and how it sustains us and how we can give that to other people in the same way that God has given that to us. Well, what is your favorite kind of bread? What is your favorite kind of bread? If you were going to go to the store or go home and make something, what would you make today? Is it fresh rolls? Do you just love the smell of fresh rolls coming out of the oven? I know there's certain restaurants that I go to where I don't care if they ever bring the entree, as long as they continue to bring more bread out to the table, because it just is so good. Or maybe it's cinnamon rolls or banana bread or pumpkin bread. I don't know what your favorite kind of bread is, but our daily intake of food, including bread, sustains us. Our bodies need food. We need the nutrition and the nutrients that we find in food to sustain us. I mean, there have been times in my own life, and I'm sure yours, and maybe even this morning, where you forgot to eat and your stomach lets you know. And lets everyone else around you know, because it's like talking, and you're like, stop talking. But it's making noise because it's hungry, it's longing for food to be able to digest. Well, bread is a staple in so many cultures. In some cultures, the bread is actually the utensil that you are eating the other food with that is before you. But the reference to bread has a broader reference in scripture of not just bread, but just of food itself. We even use the term, you know, it was great to break bread with you. I mean, it was great to share a meal with you. That's what breaking bread is really doing. And so in our passage today, we're going to look at Jesus' description of himself as the bread of life. Hear these words from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 40. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, you were looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Well, I love that passage of Scripture, and it's important for us to know that even before this, earlier in John chapter 6, Jesus has fed the 5,000. It's a familiar story. It's in each of the Gospels, but in John, there are people that are gathered, 5,000 that are present, and with the five loaves and two fish from the little boy, Jesus is able to feed the 5,000 that are there. So this crowd has been fed by Jesus, and as you can imagine, they are wanting more, and so they are seeking to follow him. And so they rush up to him, and at the very beginning of the passage, they're like, how did you get here? When did you get here? And the reason they're asking, when did you get here? How did you get here? Is because immediately after this, the disciples head out in a boat and go across the lake. But everyone who's paying attention notices that Jesus does not get into the boat with them. And Jesus doesn't ride on the boat with him at first. Because a little bit later, in John chapter 6, Jesus walks out across the water, and the disciples are amazed that Jesus is walking on the water to them. And then they go, and he goes with them over to the other side. And so the people are searching for Jesus. They want to find him, and so they're like, how did you get here? When did you arrive? And Jesus doesn't even answer that question that they ask. Now, I'm sure that happens to you at different times. Someone asks you a question, and in your mind, you know, you don't really want to know that answer. You're really asking something else. And so Jesus just immediately lets them know, "You are looking for me not because of the signs that you saw, but because you ate the food and had your fill, and you want more." And he's right about that. All they want is more of this bread. But then they go on to say, What must we do? What must we do? If we think about it, we are very much a doing culture. We value doing things, accomplishing things. In fact, if you are busy at work, you probably get praised for being busy and really accomplishing a lot of things. I don't know of anybody that was ever let go by their boss because they were overachieving and doing too much. In fact, it's usually the opposite, where they're not doing anything. But as doers, we look for things that are measurable. We want to do things, and sometimes we can get so locked in and focused on doing that we forget about just being. We're constantly about, look what I accomplished, look what I achieved, and we are so goal-oriented, sometimes we can lose the focus of the why behind what we are doing. I have conversations like these a lot with people, but just recently I was in a conversation with somebody and they said, I just want to do more. I just want to do more. I want to serve. And so I talked with them for a moment about the importance of just who they are and the gift that they are as a person. And maybe they don't have to do anything, but that they just need to be. They need to think about the relationships that they're in, maybe the conversations that they would have with people versus the things that they would do or the ways that they were serve. And don't hear me wrong, I'm not telling you to not serve because it feels like every other week we are asking you to serve because we need you to serve, but it's understanding the why behind the things that we are doing. If we just simply do things to check the box and feel accomplished. But I imagine that this week when our high school mission team is in Tennessee, there are going to be tasks that they are given that may not be all that fun. At different times, that happens. However, if you recognize the why behind what you are doing, it can motivate you to serve and to care for other people. And then when people see that passion and love that you have for what you're doing, they're touched by that. They appreciate that. The objective of what we find in this passage, and Jesus says it in verse 29, it's not what we must do, but it's that we would believe. And Jesus' desire is that we would believe and know him to be the bread of life, to be the Son of God, to be the one that extends to us, not just a full life here on earth, but one that will also be eternal. Coach Ted Lasso of the Richmond Football Club in England preaches the importance of belief to his team. He puts up a sign in the locker room that says, believe, because his team is filled with doubt. They think about all of their shortcomings. Each player has a different issue that kind of holds them back from being able to perform well. And what he wants them to do is to believe. And so he preaches this idea of belief to them that they would focus on that instead of focusing on the things that they are not able to do. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do. He's asking us to believe in him, to not think about all the things that we could do for him, but that we would believe in him and that we would trust in him. Believe is what Jesus points to. And so it's what we ought to focus on because Jesus is inviting us into a relationship with him. It can be a little bit disarming, but it actually levels the playing field when all of us are given the task of believing. Because we have different skill sets, we have different levels of training, and so we may think, you know, I'm able to do all these things, and Jesus says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to believe. It helps us to come down to all be at that same level. It's interesting to think about. As we are introduced to other people, oftentimes, you know, we will be introduced by what you do. And people will share that, and sometimes that can be an impressive thing for people to hear. But I love nothing more than when I am introduced as Riley's dad or Reese's dad or Jaden's dad. I'm like, that has to do with relationship. It doesn't have to do with my theological training at seminary, but it has to do with just my relationship with them, that I am their father. And that gives me joy. So if you see me around and you're introducing me to a friend, just introduce me as one of my children's dads. That'll be the highlight of my day. But think about that for a moment. I mean, have people introduced you that way before? And the joy that you have in being introduced that way and how much it fills you up when you recognize that relationship is far more important. It's the thing that Jesus wants us to focus on. Well, doing can be very fulfilling. It can be easy to become so works-focused because we want to earn it. I mean, I love working hard in our yard and feeling accomplished at what's out there. If I had somebody just do it for me, that would be really nice, but I wouldn't look at the yard and think, look what I did. Look what was accomplished. You know, have you ever received something that you didn't deserve? Maybe a gift that somebody gave you, and maybe your first reaction was, I can't accept this. I didn't earn this. I did nothing that I should receive this. Well, all of us have. We all have, because we have received the gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. And there's nothing that we can do to earn it. It's given to us freely for all those that come to Christ and call upon his name. And Jesus says those words in this passage, reminding us of our need for him, that he is the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. When they're searching for all of these other things, he points and reminds them that it is him that they in fact are looking for, and not all of these other things. Our focus must be on belief in him. And when they ask Jesus what they must do, the thing that they are asking for or expecting to receive is a list of items. Just give us a list of things that we can do. And they're probably disappointed when he says, you must believe. You must believe. There's a sense of disappointment from them, because wouldn't it be easier to just give me a list of three things that I can do and I'll check them off and be done? But believe is not just in one moment. That's something that continues on, and they are challenged to do. So in all of this, don't hear me saying, don't do anything or be lazy. Pastor Jeff said I shouldn't do anything. I should just believe. So I'm not going to do my chores today. That's not what I'm saying, so you can write that down. But it's okay for us to think about the why behind we are doing it. The why behind why we are doing it. Our response to Christ and what he has done for us, when we do things out of response, there is something different that people see in us. And they want to know, what is it that's driving you? And when they ask that question, what is it that's driving you to serve in the way that you are serving, to do the things that you are doing, and you're able to point back to your belief in Christ that's causing you to do these things, that speaks powerful words. So for those of you that always say, I have trouble sharing the gospel with other people, just live it. You don't have to say anything, because people will see it in you that something's different, and they will ask you what's different, and then you'll be able to tell them it's because of what Jesus is doing in your life. Well, you may have heard the story about the man who missed all the signs. There was a river that was near his house, and it was starting to flood. And a Jeep drove by and said to him, hey, hop in the Jeep and go with us. There's a flood that's coming, and it's gonna flood your house. And he said to them, I'll be fine. I have faith in God. Don't worry about me. And so the Jeep drove on. And then the waters of the flood continued to rise. And so the man moved up to the second story of his house, and the water was coming up. And he's in the second story, and a boat drives by. And the person in the boat says to him, hey, come down, let us help you. And get in the boat. And he said, I'm going to be fine. I have faith in God. It'll be okay. And so the boat drives on. And then he climbs up onto the roof because the waters continue to rise. And a helicopter comes by. And somehow, in this story, the pilot in the helicopter shouts out to the man on the roof, who has incredible hearing. And he hears the pilot say to him, take the rope, climb on, and I will save you. And the man on the roof says, I'll be fine. I have faith in God. God will take care of me. And the waters continue to rise, and the man did not survive. And the man goes to heaven, and he says to God, I have my faith and my hope and my trust in you, and you didn't save me. And God said, I sent you a Jeep and a boat and a helicopter. What more can I possibly do? Well, in our lives, sometimes we look for signs. We look for signs, and yet there are signs that are all around us that we fail to see. Sometimes the sign might be the person that's next to you that loves and cares for you on a daily basis, and yet you take it for granted and you don't see it. You're blind to the things that may be right in front of you, right around you. Well, in this passage today that I'm sharing with you, this group has missed the sign that is right in front of them. In verse 30, they say, "What sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So in this passage, as I mentioned earlier, all of these people that are present were at the feeding of the 5,000, and they're chasing after Jesus because they want more of what Jesus has to provide. But what they are wanting more of is that which will not last, and what Jesus is offering to them is something that will last forever. So they're asking for more works. They're asking to give us a sign. It's like, I just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What more could I possibly do? Oh yeah, you didn't see me, but I walked on water too. That was a good one. And it's like, oh, what are they asking for? What sign will be sufficient? And so then, kind of to challenge him, they point back to the story of the Israelites who wandered under Moses' direction and were out in the wilderness. And each day they would collect the manna that was on the ground, and it would sustain them. And manna, essentially, the translation is, what is it? What is it, this thing that they are eating? And they would collect enough just for the day, and it would sustain them to get through. And so they're saying, well, if you're going to give us bread, why don't you give us that bread? There really was a belief that the Messiah that would come would provide in the same way manna that had been provided to the Israelites when they wandered. And so they're pointing to Moses and what had happened under Moses' direction. And Jesus said, you know, it wasn't Moses that sent down the bread. It was my Father in heaven who sent down the bread to you. And manna was really a symbol of the bread of God. And Jesus reminds them that Jesus is the bread from heaven that is sent into this world, that there might be love and hope and true bread from heaven that is found in Christ. You know, we can fall into that same trap. We can fall into that same trap of not seeing the sign that is right before us and failing to see what God has in store. We can do that too in the way that sometimes we pray. We often sometimes just pray for the quick fix. You know, it's the gimme, gimme, gimme. And sometimes I find it true for my own life, and maybe the most painful, challenging things that I have experienced in my life, those are the places and spaces that God has grown me the most in my faith in him. You know, without challenges, there is not adversity. And without adversity and persevering in the midst of that, there is not growth and understanding of the gifts that are present. And so from my own experience in those times of hurt and pain that I would not wish upon myself again, or that I would not wish upon anyone else, those have been places of tremendous growth. And in those places of tremendous growth, it has shaped and formed who I am. And I bet if you think about your own life, you too have experienced hard, challenging things. But those have been formative and have shaped who you are. And the gift that you are in Christ, who you are as a person, how you can speak into another's life, a part of that is because of those places that you have grown and learned and been taught so many things from God. But the people are demanding in the story of Jesus, they're demanding of Jesus, give us this, prove it. And friends, we fall into that same trap too. We want God to prove it. Well, if you just did this, sure you did this other thing for me, but if you just did this, then I would really believe. And yet, that's so not the case of what God has in store for us. But what I think we find and what we see in this passage is that as people, we hunger. We hunger for things. We certainly hunger for food in our lives. I ate breakfast a long time ago when I got up this morning, and the communion bread's looking really good right now. We might just have communion sooner than later. You never know. But we hunger for things in our life. And at the heart of this passage, it demonstrates that there is a hunger that God places within us. A hunger for food, but also a hunger for truth. And in Him alone can we really find truth. A hunger for life. And in Him alone is life more abundant than just the life that we choose for ourselves. A hunger for love. And in Him alone is love that outlasts sin and death. In Him alone is love that outlasts sin and death. In truth, in life, and in love, we hunger for these things. And as we hunger for these things, Christ alone can satisfy. Christ alone can satisfy. Christ alone is the food, is the bread of life that endures for you and me, that feeds us in a way spiritually that is such a gift that keeps on giving. And yet, time and time again, we try to fill ourselves with other things. We set God aside, we set Christ aside, and we look to fill ourselves with other things that we believe will give life. And perhaps they do for a season, but not for the long haul. Verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The thought of never hungering, of never thirsting again, what a gift that would be. In John chapter 4, Jesus encounters a woman at the well, just a couple chapters before this. And at the well, the woman gives him water, and Jesus says, "The water I can give to you, you will never thirst again." And she says, "Give me this water." Well, here in this passage, Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life, and by giving you the bread of life, you will neither hunger nor thirst." A very similar encounter here with this crowd as with the woman. But in that, the bread sustains life. Without it, we cannot live. And life is more than physical existence. Life is about a relationship with God, made possible by Jesus. And in Jesus, we find that He is essential as being the one, the only one, who can truly sustain us. Our hunger in life is satisfied knowing Christ and therefore knowing God. So we are to see Him, to come to Him, to believe in Him, and He gives us life. And this invitation is not just for us, but for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's an invitation for all. And we are the ones who have the opportunity to share that with other people. The bread of life is ours for the taking. So know Him. This invitation to all is one that is given by Jesus to you and to me, that we might know the saving grace that is found in Jesus Christ. Friends, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He is the one who sustains us forever, even more than your favorite kind of bread, even more than those cinnamon rolls that I'm thinking about that are just down the road at Panera. Boy, that sounds good. Even more than that, the sweetness of what Jesus gives to you and to me in the bread of life is ours for the taking. I hope that you will never eat bread the same way, that when you take that bread, when you're eating a sandwich or wherever you are, that you will be thinking about the bread of life that sustains far more than the nourishment that you're receiving in that individual bite, but one that seeks to give and to place into our lives, that we wouldn't simply be impacted here in this life, but we would be impacted in the life to come. Friends, the bread of life is for you and for me. Let's pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks for this day, and we thank you for the love that we find in you. I pray, God, that you would help us to place our faith and hope and our trust in you, and that we would know this bread of life. God, I know I confess that sometimes I am searching in other places, and yet you are right there before us, extending to us your healing hand, your touch on our lives. What can sustain us, and yet we look for things that can sustain in other places. Help us, God, to be filled by you, to know you, and to love you. We pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.